I have a feeling you're going to cherish this. Have you heard of Artifact Uprising? Well, Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. So whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, or display favorite memories in your home, or even connect with loved ones throughout the year, they have a product you can personalize. And my beautiful cousin Chelsea, her wedding is coming up in October, so next month, and she didn't have a guest book yet, so I decided to create a stunning one for her using Artifact Uprising. And they offer so many options, so I was even able to fit her unique aesthetic and make the process incredibly easy. And Chelsea sent me a bunch of photos that she wanted to include, and so I did, and I used their clean, bright interface. It was so seamless. I was able to edit everything seamlessly, and I customized the sizing on each page to make it truly unique. And the result, I just have to say, is absolutely gorgeous. This quality is top-notch. I couldn't be happier with how it turned out. Even their lay flats are hand-glued, so they are long-lasting products made to cherish. And they have a beautiful, innovative design, which is at the forefront of what they do. And their books, they're timeless, and they're just meant to be shared. And you can tell, I mean, the high-quality printing methods on their photos, they are clear and vibrant and able to stand the test of time. And I'm excited for everyone to be able to write in the guest book something loving that Chelsea and her fiance, sweet fiance Ryan, can cherish for the rest of their life. And Artifact Uprising has been around for over a decade and have years of experience in high quality printing techniques. Just wanted to point that out there. From baby board books to coffee table books, even frames, calendars, cards, photo prints, other kinds of photo books, a variety of wedding options. There's so much to choose from. So now's the time to take advantage of this deal. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story through the end of the year. Your Own Magic listeners can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers, or 15% off if you have purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code MAGIC through December 31st. That's artifactuprising.com. And use the code MAGIC at checkout today.
So that's like the simple form of sex magic. You think of something you want to transform, and then at the moment of peak energy, you focus on that. But it can also be something like connecting to your sensuality in your body in a ritual context. So sex magic can also be dressing up under a full moon or new moon and dancing and moving your body and feeling beautiful and giving yourself a massage. It's whatever connects you to your sexuality in a way that feels conscious and intentional.
Yummies, welcome back to another episode of Your Own Magic, a podcast for the creative and the curious soul. And in this never heard before episode, I had the absolute pleasure of speaking with Gabriella Herstick. Gabriella, I mean, she really was a true beacon of positivity and kindness, and had such a goddess-like energy for a reason. I mean, that is her specialty, and you'll feel that joy throughout the conversation. And Gabriella is an expert in modern magic, magic with a K, spirituality, and the divine feminine. And Gabriella has authored powerful books such as Inner Witch, Bewitching the Elements, Embody Your Magic, Sacred Sex, and her latest, Goddess Energy, Awakening the Divine Feminine Through Myth and Magic. And so in this episode, of course, I wanted to gather all her nuggets of wisdom, and she shares how we can connect with the goddess within all of us, no matter what we identify as or what gender we are. We explore the transformative power of the goddess of protection and healing, and how we can call upon her in moments of need. And Gabriella also shares insights on how to turn your daily life into a ritual dedicated to the goddess of love and the potent mysteries of the dark goddess, which I found very fascinating. And she helps us to embrace our shadow selves. And we also touched on honoring the goddess through certain practices that she'll share, and how rituals like tarot and journaling and affirmations can help us attune to this powerful energy of the divine feminine. And so I'd say this conversation was truly enlightening, and Gabriella is a goddess indeed. I really enjoyed this conversation, which happened a while back, but this is a never heard before episode. It's been a minute since I've done one of these intros. So hello, next week, Monday, I'm thinking about getting back on the Instagram. I want to just share some life updates. It's been a minute, and I thought that'd be fun to connect with everyone on my birthday and reactivate my Instagram account. So if you're listening, keep an eye out for that and say hello to me through comments or DMs, whatever you prefer. I'd love to hear from you. And thank you for all your support all these years. Or if you're new, thank you for tuning in, and I hope that you enjoy what your own magic has to offer, and you can go back to older episodes, and it's definitely evolved in different ways since then. However, the heart of it is still going to always be there, about being a podcast for the creative and the curious soul. So with all that being said, I believe it is time to let the magic begin with Gabriella Hurstick. Gabriella, I'm so excited to chat with you today. And I know this is going to come out in the future, but right now we're talking as the eclipse is about to happen, which is pretty special.
Literally in like, I think like 5 minutes, we're supposed to have like the
20 total. For me.
Okay, 20 for
we're you. All in different parts.
Yeah, I know for LA, it's like, I think it's like full in an hour, because it was like 11:10 here, and then in San Diego, it's 11:11, and I was like, I wish it was 11:11 here, because it's always 20, but it's fine.
I wish too. Well, what is lighting you up most in this season of your life, Gabby? Oh, do you mind that I call you Gabby, or you go by Gabriella?
That's totally fine. Gabby's fine. I introduce myself as Gabriella, but because my social media handle's Gabby, like it kind of just whatever is like people have.
You can call me Rocky. That's my nickname.
Rocky, cute. I love that. Well, first off, thank you for having me. And I love this question about what's lighting me up, because it's the eclipse in Aries, and I feel like very connected to like that energy when it comes to like being inspired. So honestly, like right now, I just had my book launch for Goddess Energy, which was great, but like parties like that always take up like a lot of brain space, you know, just like planning events, because it's like not my forte. So that was really inspiring, just like being around people. And actually today I'm like, I have an OnlyFans and do like that kind of like spicy content creating sex work and other stuff, and I'm like fully doing a rebrand for the first time in like almost like 3.5 or 4 years. So that's been exciting. I just was like, needed something new, wanted to consolidate all the things, and I just feel like my work with like sex magic, sex work, goddesses, sacred sexuality, witchcraft are like all very connected. So I'm just looking forward to kind of continuing to converge those different streams of my life and work.
Now you made me write down another question as you were saying that. And I love this. I love that you go after what you want to do and what you love to do. What was your book launch like, having a party for your book?
Yeah, it was really fun. It was at El Cid, which is a venue here in Los Angeles that I love. It's like super old and haunted. Like the history of El Cid's crazy, but it was really lovely. I had my other release party for Sacred Sex there in July, like 2 years ago. And my parents were able to come to this one, which was really sweet.
Oh my gosh, that's
and
great.
I had friends, and my boyfriend was there, and like it was just really lovely. Like it was like I had my like two of my really good friends, like my best friend, and then like one of my other best friends performed. So there was like music and poetry, and my twin sister who took all the photos for who takes the photos for my books took photos. So
cool.
It was lovely. It was really just like it was just nice to bask in the energy and to just like celebrate the book.
Okay, now I have more questions knowing you're a twin. Yay. I'm curious how you guys are alike. Do you guys have the same rising sign? We're going to get to that later. First, I want to hear more about you and your journey of how you got to where you are and into this exploration of goddess spirituality and sexuality and sacred sex. What made you, what inspired you to get into all of this?
Yeah. Well, first off, my sister and I are 3 minutes apart. So our birth charts are identical, which is really weird. Like when you think about it. But we're really, really different. Like we look different. We're in different career paths. We're like have very similar values, but like we express very differently. So I like to think of the birth chart. It's like your soul, like everybody's specific personal soul, right? Like your light, your purpose is going to like activate the birth chart. So it's like, even though Alex and I have the same birth chart, because we're different people, we're different souls, we're like different purposes in this life, I would say like the way that we interact with our birth chart and like our souls like activate it to like for us to embody it differently, even though there's a lot of overlap. So that's just kind of like my gnosis. But yeah, I've been a witch since I was like 12 or 13, and I just turned 30 in February. So it's been a long time. And I was raised Jewish, but I was raised very like, I always had a very deep knowing of like the other side, just like of energy, of like, I've always just felt really connected to like spirituality since I was little. And I was lucky enough to like live with, you know, like live in a family that fostered that. My mom always fostered it. My dad's a rabbi in the Reform movement of Judaism, which is like very modern. And he fostered that. So like, I was just always very curious. And when I was in like, when I was 9 in third grade, my aunt's birthday's on Halloween, and she loves witches. She's obviously a Scorpio. So like, we went, it was my aunt, my grandma, my sister, and I all went to Salem on Halloween when I was 9. And like, I stood in front of a wax figure and like had them tell me about the Wiccan read and witchcraft. And like, I just remember like being impacted by that and like way didn't understand at the time. And a few years later, I found witchcraft again. And I'd like always been obsessed with like the Salem witch trials and like colonial America. And then like when I discovered witchcraft, I like remembered seeing this wax museum and like seeing these statues in Salem talking to me about witchcraft. And then I found Wicca, which I'm not a Wiccan, but that's how my path started. Because Wicca is a specific religion and witchcraft is a spiritual path. So like, I'm not Wiccan, but I was, but that's how I started my path. And then like I got connected to that and I started reading about the divine feminine and realizing that like there was a goddess. Because in Judaism, even though the divine is androgynous, like it's the words that you use to describe God are often masculine. So you just kind of like by nature describe God as masculine. And like the like Jewish, like you don't really learn about the feminine faces of goddess in like traditional temples, even if it's Reform. Like you don't really learn about like Shekinah or about like the goddess before like there was monotheism in Judaism. So like when I learned about the goddess when I was like 12, like I found a part of myself in the divine in a way I hadn't seen before.
At 12.
Yeah, you know, like wow. I just remember connecting to these goddesses and feeling like just like being knowing that I was a witch and that I was pagan.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
my parents were like, that's a phase. And I was like, it's not a phase. And like, it's not a phase, but I understand like now as an adult why you wouldn't probably take your like 12-year-old daughter very seriously. She's like, I am a witch, you know, like I get it. But like now they understand that like, no, this is actually like not a phase and it's my like my work. So my work with the goddess really evolved. I would say like, I'm like trying to remember when I graduated college, like 8 years ago is really when I started incorporating things like glamour and like connecting to my sexuality through like self-adornment, through lingerie, through taking portraits. Like I had a fashion blog for a long time. So like I kind of started merging these worlds and like started doing outfit posts inspired by tarot cards and like talking about witchcraft on my blog. And like that kind of led me to writing about witchcraft, which led me to my books. And that also kind of led me to working with sex magic and Venus, who is one of my matron goddesses. So my work and my like practice is devoted to different faces of the goddess of love. And it kind of took like me working with Venus and then the pandemic to like really solidify like that expression of my own personal like connection to these faces of the divine.
Working with Venus. What do you mean by working with Venus?
So Venus is the Roman goddess of love, beauty, glamour, sexuality, money, value, wealth, beauty, love, lust, all those things. So what I mean by working with her is like forming a connection, like a friendship, like meeting her, learning about her, leaving her offerings. I connected with Venus through exploring kink, like that was kind of like a gateway for me to deepen my relationship with her, because I realized that like I was like, oh, like there's things that I want to explore, but like I'm single, the person I was exploring with, like we're not seeing each other, so like I'm going to offer this exploration to Venus so I can connect with my sexuality and myself and not have to be reliant on somebody else. So like, and then, you know, like these aspects of like self-love, of creativity, of self-expression, like all of those things that have always been a part of my path, I started dedicating to Venus and I started building up a relationship with her through that. And when it's her, I mean like honor her through witchcraft, pray or ritual, like pray to her, like adorn myself as an expression of her. Like it's not as like formal as like I'm working with a colleague, you know, it's more like connecting with a friend and we're like feeding each other like good energy.
Very cool. So you said you give her offerings. What does that look like?
So offerings can be something physical and tangible like roses. They can also, it can also be something like a prayer. It can be something like an orgasm. It can be something like taking a bath and adding salt, or like, you know, leaving her fruit or chocolate. The offerings I give the most to Venus are definitely like prayer every day. I have a candle for her I light every day. When I'm, you know, like masturbating or making self-love, sometimes I'll offer her the orgasms that come from that or the pleasure. But most of the time when I'm buying Venus offerings, it's roses because I love roses. And I'll buy her like pink roses usually, or like red wine or chocolate. Like those are kind of like the classical associations for Venus. But I always emphasize that like your connection with her is going to feed itself. So it's like I might consider roses an association with Venus, but if somebody else like loves like Turkish delight or something, or like a candy or something that brings them a lot of pleasure, like a fragrance, like they might offer that to her because they have those associations. So it's really personal.
That's very special. So are offerings like expressing gratitude?
Yeah, exactly. They're expressing gratitude
without expectation for anything.
You can like you can offer something and like petition, be like, Venus, like please, like I'm asking you for this. Okay. Like here's this, you know. Yeah. It's like a trade, but also like I feel like that's not like all the time. Like yeah. Most of the times when you're doing something as an offering, it's just like of gratitude. Exactly.
Very special. Okay. Your book, Goddess Energy, Awakening the Divine Feminine Through Myth and Magic. I love that. So this is a guide that helps us understand the significance, as you're talking about, of connecting with the goddess within us. So What inspired you, of course, to write this book, which I have an idea given your background and everything that you've been through. Yeah. And then what do you hope that we take away from it?
Yeah. So I just like have always been really connected to the goddess, and I'd had a column with Chakrubs, who are a company of like crystal pleasure products. Like they're the first ones that made like the crystal like dildos and crystal wands to use when you're doing like sex magic and masturbation. And
they started that?
They're the ones that started that. I actually have the book right here. So this is Vanessa's book. She's the one that started Chakrubs, and I love her. And I was writing a column for them probably like 5 years ago called the Goddess Column, where I would write about a different goddess and include a ritual, affirmations, background, like all this stuff in goddess energy. And I really enjoyed writing that. And I'd been approached, like one publisher had approached me to write a book about it, but I was in the middle of other projects. And then I ended up pitching this book to my publisher and they accepted it. And I just like my path of witchcraft centers the divine feminine. Like my path of magic and my purpose in life, like is to, I see my purpose, like my true will is to destigmatize sex, witchcraft, and the goddess. So for me, it's really important to help people connect to these things that like hold a lot of power but are often seen as taboo. And the divine feminine, it's, I think a lot of people who hear that, especially if you're like coming from like very like patriarchal place, or if you grew up like, if you're not really aware of like other options for how to like structure our society, you think that maybe like the matriarchy or goddess religion puts women at the top like a pyramid, like how we have men at the top for patriarchy. But the goddess religion and working with the goddess and being in that energy isn't about, it's not hierarchy, it's community. It's like it's a circle instead of a pyramid. So it's every like, I really see the need for the divine feminine, not because we're trying to replace the divine masculine, like We're not trying to like make it like Barbie land or whatever. Like we're trying to find a balance. So like when we, because the pendulum's so with the masculine, like we're so centered and like it's hurting everybody. It's hurting men as well. Because we're so like patriarchal, like centered in like the masculine and like masculine way of thinking, of doing, like very active, very consistent, not cyclical, not intuitive, very thought and not felt, like we're, and then we see that in the ways that we're disconnected from one another, disconnected from the earth, where we don't have compassion. Like to balance that, we need to swing the pendulum the other way. And that means connecting to the goddess and honoring the divine feminine and connecting to community and the earth, because the goddess religion is like a web. It's like when you begin working with her energy and recognizing that it's a vibration that everybody has access to, it breeds compassion and it breeds an understanding that we're all different expressions of the divine made manifest. So I wrote this book because I know how empowering and how transformative it is to worship a deity that reflects all parts of you, because the goddess is not static and she's not like two-dimensional, right? She's the goddess of life, the goddess of death, the goddess of healing, the goddess of lust, the dark goddess, the goddess of like light. Like she's everything. And in those dualities, we find safety for ourselves because we give permission to ourselves to be fully manifested, because the goddess of love is the goddess of war and the goddess of life is the goddess of death. It's not like, this book, my intention is to help people find connections to goddesses that represent what they need to wake up in themselves, or that that reflect something within themselves that they want to nurture or honor. My intention for the book is for people to be guided to goddesses that are like important for them, like that feel important for them to work with. But more than anything, it's for people to connect to the divine feminine energy within themselves, to connect to that intuition, that love, that compassion, that rage, that sexuality, like all the parts of like ourselves that we're often told to like make smaller, you know, and like keep locked up. We're like, are taught that it's like not okay, that we're too much or not enough. And like the goddess is all of that and more. So I feel like when we allow ourselves to have like our expansiveness, then we can more fully live life, you know?
Fascinating. I love this. And I love that you are sharing this. I mean, I told you I'm in Utah. So when I say to people that I'm into witchy shit, they're like, cool, you know? But to destigmatize that, and that you're destigmatizing sex. And there was another one.
Witchcraft.
Yeah. Sex, the witchcraft, God. And
the goddess.
The goddess, yeah. Of course, obviously. What I also love is that you are making sure that you can help people, no matter their gender or their sexual expression, no matter however they identify themselves, that they can tap into this goddess.
Yeah, I think it's about like being soft with yourself and being in touch with your heart. Like I say, like the temple of the goddess is at your heart. So for like a lot of men, like they're not taught to like safely feel, like they're not taught to like be able to like have emotions or like have emotional reactions. And then they're like have to suppress so much shit. Like for me, the goddess is like giving space to whatever you're feeling and is a way for you to like feel into something that's like you don't really have space to. So like for like a hetero guy, like feeling into his heart, like feeling into his body, like breathing and seeing where tension is like being physically held. Like, what does your heart feel like? What does your stomach feel like? Like, what does your like, what does your pelvis feel like? Are you like clenching stuff? Are you like just, you know, like, are you, I feel like it's just the more that we get in touch with the feminine within us, the more compassion we have for each other. Like the more we're able to see love and beauty in life and the more pleasure we're able to feel. So like, I think just being familiar with like your energy body and being familiar with like how you feel in your body and like being familiar with what pleasure means to you is like the most kind of important and impactful ways we can kind of begin to connect to that energy.
Period. Yep. I agree. What is an energy body? For those listening, people are like, energy body? What's that?
No, energy body is like the energetic manifestation of your body. So like your intuition, you're like, you could consider like your energy meridians or like the nadis if you're like practice like acupuncture, like yogic medicine. It's really just like the energetic equivalent of like your physical body. So it's like what holds pain and healing and trauma, and like it's just like the layer of energy. I would just, if you can like visualize almost like like a layer of like and like skin around you that's just like light and pulsating, like it's almost like that, like just kind of like just like your energy, like yeah. It's just your aura. It's just another way of saying that, but like that kind of like our ability to tap into that isn't something we're often taught, and it's not something that men are taught, especially because men are just taught to like women don't have like we have like a very specific box to be in most of the time. I feel like men don't have a box at all, so it's like it's hard. Like they're, you know, like the patriarchy negatively affects them too. So I just feel like they need to be in touch more with like the subtle, right? Like the parts that you need to be more silent and still to kind of connect with.
Yeah. Beautifully said.
I've been spending many days makeup free. And because I'm about to go to lunch with my dad, I put on a little bit of makeup and my boyfriend looks at me and he's like, oh, you look pretty. Hey, where'd the other girl go? Road. Just a little joke there. But honestly, I'm obsessed with my makeup, which is from Thrive Cosmetics. Whether you're into a fresh face look, full glam, or perhaps something in between, you've probably seen their viral tubing mascara. You know, the one that is in a turquoise tube that's all over social media. And there's a reason their bestsellers have thousands of five-star reviews. Yes, of course, I love that all their products are certified 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and free from parabens, sulfates, and phthalates. But what truly makes me a fan is in their name. I mean, it's Thrive Cosmetics with a cause. The heart of what they do. Thrive Cosmetics gives back to amazing causes, supporting communities impacted by cancer, domestic abuse, veterans, and education. Amazing. Now, I'm totally hooked on their new Empower Matte Precision Lipstick Crayon. It's a 2-in-1 lipstick and liner that lets you line, define, and fill in your lips in just one step. I love that fuller look. Plus, it comes with a built-in sharpener and it's waterproof, it's sweatproof, and it lasts up to 12 hours while delivering rich, opaque color. And it glides on effortlessly, giving me an even, bold, velvety finish that stays non-sticky and hydrated for hours. And of course, you know, I love their iconic Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara. I mean, the name says it all. The tubing mascara gives you the look of lash extensions without any clumping, flaking, or smudging. And you can simply just wipe it off with warm water. And there's nourishing ingredients to support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. My favorite mascara of all time. I mean, I've been using this since 2020. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/magic. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/magic for 20% off your first order. In 2080, I intend to be hiking, playing with the grandkids, and dancing around at 90 years old. And I'm hopeful technology will allow us to do this, but I'm very hopeful the technology and the research, whatever we may have available for us today, may help us get there. For the past several months, I've been really excited to take Timeline, which is a Swiss-based life science company, a global leader in urolithin A research. And they spent 10 years doing research to bring this product to us, to the market. And urolithin A is a powerful postbiotic that is nearly impossible to get from your diet alone. And MitoPure is their first product to offer a precise dose of urolithin A to upgrade your mitochondrial function, increasing cellular energy and improving muscle strength and endurance. And MitoPure is clinically shown to give our cellular energy generators new power by triggering the body's natural process for removing and rebuilding damaged mitochondria called mitophagy. So all you have to do is take 2 soft gels or maybe even use their berry powder every day for 2 months, and you can see significant improvements in your cellular energy and in your muscle strength and endurance. And then after 4 months of taking MitoPure, you'll feel yourself getting stronger and recovering faster after a workout and experiencing less inflammation, all part of your healthier aging routine. And MitoPure is the number one doctor recommended urolithin A supplement that is NSF and Clean Label Project certified. So it is time for you to add Timeline to your daily routine. Look on their website to see the research and the testimonials for yourself. Timeline is offering 10% off your first order of MitoPure. Go to timeline.com/magic. That's timeline.com/magic.
Very
Beautifully said. Now you capitalize the H for her mm-hmm. throughout your book mm-hmm. and probably just whenever you talk about her, mm-hmm. which I do appreciate, but do you mind explaining why?
Yeah. So for me, like, if you look in the book, it was very intentional for me to capitalize the G in goddess. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm talking about her, I use the capital H. Mm-hmm. And that's just like a way for me to show reverence.
Yeah.
The goddess is something that's like very important to me. And I writing this book was very important to me. And it just was a way for me to honor her, to make it, you know, to like show reverence. So it's kind of just that simple. It's nothing crazy, but you know, like I refer to the goddess as her because that's just like easier for me to write about and conceptualize as a straight woman, as a cis woman, or as a cis woman. Straight doesn't really matter, but like not because the goddess is a woman, but because so much of what's been discussed of the divine has been labeled as him. It's kind of just for me to be like, well, the goddess energy is feminine. And like often that means that we're going to use she, her pronouns to describe her. And like, that's not to say that people can't be non-binary or trans or masculine or like not femme presenting to work with a goddess. It's just simply because I like that felt important and resonant for me to honor her through that language.
I love that. Plus, of course, in the Bible or whatever someone might be reading, they usually read God, capital G, yeah, and they exactly. always capitalize the H. So to do that for the goddess who is a divine yeah. power and that finding that within yeah. yourself, I think it's beautiful. I'm glad that you do that.
Thank you, love. Thank you.
Yeah. And then can you also share some insights into some historical and cultural significance of a goddess archetype and how it has evolved over time?
Yeah, the goddess has been around for forever. Like before we had monotheism, we had the goddess. Like it is the oldest religion in history that we have access to. Like you find representations of the goddess in ancient caves in France and Spain as these like clay figurines with full busts and full bellies that almost look like if you're a woman with like full breasts and a full belly, like if you were to look down and see that, like that's what these statues look like. So there's almost like this like reflection of a relationship with a people and like their goddess through the body, which is really interesting. And like ancient like Canaan and like the ancient land of Israel, again, ancient land of Israel, I'm not talking about the Zionist state, that like though there were the Jewish people before they honored like a single god, they were honoring Asherah, like they were honoring this like goddess found in like the fields, and there's like you know, there's evidence of worship there. And all pretty much like every religion had an expression of the divine feminine. But then as things evolved, like we got bronze and we started making tools and people started conquering each other, you see these like gods conquering the goddesses. And the story of the goddess has always been evolution and adaptation to like a people with another people. So like you'll see as people come together and as people travel and like as people like travel differently and colonize different places, like their gods and like the local goddesses and the gods of the people that were coming, like they all merge. So like there's a lot of like different kind of expressions of these same goddesses that evolved based on the people that were worshiping them. And a lot like once we kind of started having tools, we started seeing these like gods, like instead of like the great goddess, we would see like gods of like thunder and gods of like war and like gods of like the sun. Like these different gods started like replacing the divine feminine. And as people started like not hoarding, but like as people evolved into like the people that we are today, where we're like wanting supplies and wanting to do stuff, like our reflection with the divine transformed as well. So like there started being gods that represented the very human things that we were going through. Instead of like the goddess of like the earth, now it was like the, you know, it was like even just like Zeus pulling like Athena ever out of his head, or like Artemis, whoever, I don't remember who it was, but like There began to be a split from like the divine feminine as connection to like these different faces of the divine masculine that like represented things like conquering, like war, like that kind of stuff. So, but the goddess has always been there. You know, like a lot of the Catholic Christian sites started on places like in England and stuff. Obviously, the United States is really new, so it's different. We don't really have a lot of like, we have ancient places here, but that's just different as somewhere else, like, you know, like Europe. But a lot of Christian like a lot of the churches, a lot of the temples to like Mary were built on pagan sites, on temples, because they're like, oh, well, if everybody's been coming here for like, you know, however long, and like they know that this is the place they worship, we'll just put a different kind of place to, you know, we'll just put a church here so they keep coming, but now they're going to worship Christ instead of the goddess. But like even in like ancient temples, like, or even in places like in Mexico, when you go to like the old churches, like you'll see like the Aztec or like the Mexica, like the Mesoamerican like gods and goddesses like hidden in the churches, right? Like in the faces of like the saints and stuff. And I mean, even saints, a lot of them are like archangels and goddesses. Like Bridget is a goddess. Like she's not, like she was adopted as a saint afterward. But like, so there's a lot of like people like adopt a lot of different things from one another, but I do feel like the goddess just hides. Like she's never gone away. Like Mary in the church and like Mary Magdalene are expressions of the divine feminine. When you're seeing like Mary holding Jesus, it's almost exactly the same as the ancient goddess Isis holding her son Horus. So it's just like the story of the goddess is evolving to be like hidden in plain sight for the people that recognize her. So like you might not like go into a church and like know that that's the goddess, but like if you know, you'll be able to find it. So she's always been like, she's always been there. It's just like we have, I think, forgotten a lot of that.
Well, that's very beautiful. So do you go to churches and you see her around?
I feel like not every church. Right. Again, I grew up Jewish, so it's different, but like I live in LA and like there's an old like historic church in my neighborhood. It's like Saint Mary of the Angels or something, and it's like a beautiful like Mary church, and I really want to go in, but like whenever I look online, like I feel like it's, even the churches that are like named after Mary or like whatever, like often don't really include her in their liturgy or in their like worship, you know? Like I would love to go to a service where we're honoring her. Like I would be interested in that, but I'm not a Jesus girly like that, like, so I'm not gonna do that. But
no. Yeah. But you know, a church for the goddess, you know, or just something to honor her, right? But nothing culty or super dogmatic or religious. But I was just thinking as well as you were talking about that, and you're saying in America, we don't really have a lot of history behind that since we colonized America, probably not, but I was thinking Native Americans.
Oh, definitely.
So much goddess energy. A lot of Native American tribes were matriarchies. And really honored that. And I was thinking, man, imagine if society stayed that way. What do you think in an ideal world, what would that look like today? What do you think?
I feel like, like indigenous people, like the story of indigenous people is surviving on the earth for thousands of years. You know what I mean? Like indigenous people have like their spirituality. Obviously, like they're not, you know, like each tribe is going to have their different beliefs, their different practices. I recognize they're not a monolith, but I do feel like as somebody who has so much reverence and respect and like has always just like really been inspired and admired different like indigenous traditions. Like I was in Buffalo, New York for a few years. I like remember learning about the Iroquois and the Navajo and just like loving it, like going like hyper fixating on like indigenous traditions because it is so deeply spiritual in a way that's like, it's really different than what like non-native people do. Like their indigenous spirituality is all about being in connection and reverence with the land and the earth and like the spirit, and like obviously there's more to it for each individual tribe. The way America specifically has treated indigenous people is like, and we've had a lot of pox marks on our history, like slavery, come on, it's been horrible, but like also the ways that we have treated indigenous people and separated from their land and just fucked them over is just, it's so fucking heartbreaking for me. Like it's just so fucking sad because like these are people who are literally like, if we listened to their wisdom and we allowed them to be a part of like our society in like a meaningful way and like allowed them to like have their rights and have their voice and like actually listen to them, like we would not be in the climate crisis we would today. We would not be in this like in this crazy overstimulated hyper fixated like society, because that takes away from, I feel like that isn't like community, it's not connection, it's not presence, we're not celebrating nature. And like, you know, like there's been such a huge turn back towards spirituality, especially like after like 2020 started, because we were all feeling disconnected, and it's just like I feel like we've been in a better place, and I just hope that you know, Indigenous leaders have already done so much. And I'm just so grateful for that and hope that they continue to just share and that we get to support them so they don't have to be selfless when they're trying to just like survive, you know? So I just think that we'd be in a much better place if we even just took into consideration a little bit of the wisdom that these people had who have been surviving alongside nature for literally since their people began. So
I have chills, by the way, as you were saying this. I was like, oh, man. Now, as you're talking about this, I had a question that was somewhat similar. Oh, so how can tapping into the elemental power, because we're so disconnected from nature, as we're talking about, and especially in today's wild, chaotic world, we're becoming more and more disconnected with nature as we're on our phones, scrolling through TikTok all day or whatever it is, right? We are becoming more disconnected with the beauty of the outside. That's one reason why I actually love being here in Utah, because
it seems gorgeous.
Forget about the current culture. It's the nature, right? It's home for me. I love it here.
Beautiful.
It's so beautiful. I do feel connected to the goddess when I go into nature. Yeah. But how do you recommend that we can, you know, reconnect with nature and find balance in our lives if we're not in a place surrounded by nature?
Yeah, it's a great question. I feel like the elements are really kind of like a beautiful way to like symbolically think about the different parts of ourselves and how we connect to something greater. So like earth is like grounding in our bodies and our home, while air is like our thoughts and our communication and our breath. Water is our hearts and our feelings and our emotions, and fire is like our passion, our sexuality, and our inspiration. So thinking like having that like language for me around the elements and kind of having those associations helps me not only like find balance, but also like call upon the elements when I'm feeling out of balance. So like I have a lot of water and air in my chart and not any earth or fire. So like I'm constantly practicing grounding meditations. I love cannabis. So I'm like, I smoke weed and I'm always like outside to like be under the sun. I love wearing red or bright colors to tap into that fiery energy. Like, so I feel like the first way is just to like connect with the elements, even if you can't like be out in the park. Like, can you like sit next to a window when the sun is shining? Can you like take a deep breath and connect to like your lungs and the presence of air within you to just like find spaciousness? Can you take a moment of gratitude and wash your hands as you release what you no longer need to the water? Like, it's really about just like reconnecting to the simple things that like weave meaning into our life. So I feel like honestly just like walking outside and like feeling the sun on your skin and like feeling like a breeze and the earth beneath your feet. It's like such a powerful practice. Like, even if you can't like go to a park, just like being outside is so important for that. And like, I think it's also about like community. Like, we're not, you know, like I think a lot of like Indigenous spirituality, even like my mom is from Mexico City, and like even in like Latina culture and honestly just like not white, like not American culture, like community is very vital. And I feel like that is like a reflection of our connection to nature, because in nature nothing works alone, right? Like, even the trees talk to each other, like the fungus talk to each other, like the animals talk to each other, like everything has this connection. So it's like when we take the time to like ground ourselves, when we take the time to be in nature, to take a bath, to drink tea, to like light a candle and meditate on it, and then also like connect to people that like, you know, like share conversation, like be in community, whatever that means to you, whether you're watching a movie with friends or like talking to somebody when you're like going through it, like those are also ways for us to like have that kind of like grounded support for one another. But I feel like just like, you know, like going outside and putting your feet on the ground, taking a bath, like cleansing with sacred smoke, like there's a lot of practices that you can kind of do to begin connecting to nature. And I think just like thinking of what you need in that moment and like kind of connecting it to an element, being like, oh, like I'm really anxious today, like that's a lot of water energy, maybe I need to be more in my body, so maybe I should just do a grounding meditation. Or, you know what, I'm feeling really lethargic today, so like maybe I'm gonna go out and under the sun, or I'm gonna like, you know, wear some like spicy perfume, and then I'm gonna like masturbate and send the energy through my body. Like, it's kind of like a language that you develop to help find balance within yourself, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with that. And I think that LA, because you're in LA, I was in LA for 8 years, and I was thinking, like, man, I actually did connect a lot with nature, going to the different parks like Fryman and Runyon, but also there was such a strong community there. Of course, I love my family here in Utah, and I do have that community, but I remember just finding my community. Yeah. So if you don't feel like you have it, there's always a way to find that community.
Definitely.
Ladies, if you haven't heard about adaptogens yet, well, you are in for something exciting, something liberating, something I love, which is Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is packed with these powerful herbal extracts that are backed by science for their ability to help the body adapt, especially the hormonal changes that, you know, we women naturally experience throughout our life, especially that time of the month. And so what makes Hormone Harmony stand out is that it is not just for menopause, okay? I'm not experiencing menopause yet. It is designed for all of us, any woman looking to support her body's hormone levels, whether you're dealing with monthly challenges or just want to feel more balanced. It's perfect for women dealing with hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, and also, you know, no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. And women everywhere are talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. That's how great it is. And it's become a true phenomenon because it helps with those common hormonal fluctuations that can make life difficult. Happy Mammoth, the creators of Hormone Harmony, have crafted a formula that's sugar-free, gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested with over 17,000 glowing reviews. Women keep saying the same thing. They keep saying, I feel like myself again. And we want you to say that too. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MAGIC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code MAGIC for 15% off today.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water. Enjoy. And watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Yeah, it totally takes time. And also I can tell that you're very hyper aware of the different rituals that might come about when you're expressing yourself through the elements. I'd love to hear more about rituals that you have created or also you have perhaps implemented into your life that maybe came from Indigenous people.
Yeah, I feel like smoke cleansing of any kind is connected to like Indigenous magic, you know, like in my first book, I called it smudging, which I you know, like recognize that's like a specific term and a specific ritual for Indigenous people. So I don't call it that anymore because it's not like,
oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I'm always learning stuff. I'm like, I always called it smudging. I had no idea.
Yeah. It's like a specific Indigenous practice. I just feel like Indigenous. Okay. I've seen people, you know, like I just try to adopt my language to be more
like with this.
Yeah. Like, you know, like sage, like you would be smoke cleansing. So like, I like using Palo Santo which comes from Peru. It's protected by the Peruvian government. You can't cut the tree down. Like, the tree is naturally, like, the branches fall, and that's how it's made. But yeah, for me, I think it's like that, like, a lot of, like, the cleansing and, you know, like, I think everything's connected. Like, I try to just be very kind of, like, aware of, like, my own practices. And a lot of them I, like, didn't make up, but are specifically tailored. And what I mean by that is, like, I have a meditation practice I've been doing every day for, it'll be 6 years in November, every day. So, like, that includes things like ceremonial magic, which is, like, a Western form of esotericism by way of the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn that was around in, like, the earliest, like, the 1900s. And then I work with things like, I'll pray, I'll cleanse myself with sacred smoke, I'll send my friend a voice note every morning of things I'm grateful for, I'll say affirmations, I'll meditate. Like, I have, like, a really kind of detailed practice that I do. I anoint myself with different oils and I say different prayers to the goddess. So, like, that, you know, like, there's a lot of things that are, like, stuff like incense, stuff like oil, stuff like burning herbs, stuff like prayer. Like, these are things found in, like, every tradition. You know, it's found in Judaism, it's found in Catholicism, it's found in Hinduism, it's found in Buddhism, it's found in different forms of indigenous spirituality. Like, that's all kind of, you know, like, those things are not just from one tradition. And I also work a lot with, like, sexual energy, which for me is just, you know, like, working, like, for manifesting or banishing or protection. Like, I will incorporate things like self-pleasure or, like, movement or, like, being in my body in a specific way or, like, experiencing a specific thing in my body. And that's also connected. Like, that's not as necessary, like, every morning, like, when I'm meditating. But that is, like, you know, for the full moon, the new moon, like, whatever it is, I'll incorporate that. But I feel like indigenous spirituality is, like, I would love to learn more. Like, I know about it, but, like, again, because it's, like, different to each tribe, like, I couldn't, like, be, like, oh, like, this is, like, I couldn't tell you the specific differences, you know?
Totally. Totally. So, okay, I never really have anybody come on here and talk about sex magic. I would love to hear all about it. What is sex magic? How do we practice it? Yeah. Whatever else you want to share when it comes to this topic.
Sex magic is really working with your sexual energy in a spiritual manner, which means bringing awareness and intention to when you're working with your sexual energy. It can be something as simple as, like, jacking off, masturbating really quickly and focusing on something you want. Like, if you're like, really want $100, you could literally, like, yeah, masturbate. And, like, as you're getting to the height of the energy raising, as you're getting closer to orgasm, as you orgasm, as you get there, you don't have to orgasm to practice sex magic. It's about raising the energy. So it's like once you get to the peak of the energy, you focus on what you want and you send it out into the universe. So that's, like, the kind of simple form of sex magic. You think of something you want to transform, and then at the moment of, like, peak energy, you focus on that. But it can also be something like connecting to your sensuality in your body in a ritual context. So sex magic can also be dressing up under a full moon or new moon and dancing and moving your body and feeling beautiful and, like, giving yourself a massage. Like, it's whatever connects you to your sexuality in a way that feels conscious and intentional. So it can also be like, oh, like, I'm so, like, Venus, if I'm honoring Venus, I can practice sex magic for her and I can masturbate and, as an offering, feel pleasure in my body. And then as I orgasm or come, like, visualize this, like, feeding her, you know, like, it can be something like that. Like, you can transfer the energy, or you can just do sex magic to, like, be more confident, to, like, have more sex. And, like, again, as you come, you focus on what you want, and then in the afterglow, you, like, really visualize it like it's already happening, and, like, you allow that to just soak in. And it's really powerful because it can work with a lot of different, like, traditions. It's not like sex magic isn't, like, specific to one form of witchcraft, and it's not specific to, like, one tradition. So it's something that's really, like, fun to incorporate into, like, different parts of your spirituality. And yeah, you can incorporate things like kink and affirmations and tarot and, like, all, you know, like, different kinds of rituals and ceremonies into that. So it can be as simple or as, like, intense as you want.
Yeah, it's so cool. I'm sure you talk about this in your book, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I have a book called Sacred Sex, so I go into detail.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Sacred. How about this new one?
I talk about sex magic in this one as well, because there's a chapter on the love goddess or the goddess of love. So there's a chapter on how to like work with sex magic and what that means. Or a section.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Now, tarot and astrology. Yes. Another topics I love to talk about, you know, divination tools. How can we use these practices to gain insight into our relationship with the goddess and navigate our spiritual journey?
Yeah, like, again, like you said, like, these are tools. Astrology will help you both conceptualize, like, your own connection to the goddess through your birth chart. Your birth chart is, like, a screenshot of where the planets were at the sky in the sky the time you were born, and the ways they're interacting and where they are, like, in the sky at that time is said to have enough, you know, said to reflect your purpose in life. It's said to reflect who you are, why you come here. So there's different parts of our birth chart that naturally embody and reflect the goddess. The moon, which is like the cyclical intuition, the unknown, our inner self, our emotions, that is also connected to the goddess, because the goddess has been honored through the moon and the moon cycles for years and years, like thousands of years. You can also look at Venus in your birth chart, where it's the same, you know, named after the Roman goddess of love and beauty and sex and pleasure. And that can tell you how you, like, love. Mars can tell you how, like, you, like, your sex, your lust. And that's more of, like, a masculine energy. Like, I would say, like, looking at, like, Venus and looking at the moon, seeing if you have any, like, placements in something like Cancer, Libra, or Taurus, which Libra and Taurus are ruled by Venus, and Cancer is ruled by the moon. So those all have feminine energy. So you can see in your chart, like, where these planets are, what they're doing. What part of your birth chart are they in? How they're relating to other things. And that will kind of share how this energy will manifest within you. And then tarot is like more like a mirror. Like, astrology is a mirror too. And you can look and see, like, there's a bunch of asteroids that are associated with different goddesses, like Lilith or Hecate or Babylon or Juno. And those asteroids hold the energy of the divine feminine in different forms and expressions. So you can see where those asteroids are in your chart and get an even deeper, like, understanding of your personal relationship with goddess. But you can also see, like, what the planets are doing in the sky, like, on a daily basis, not your birth chart. Like, what the sun is in. Like, the sun and moon right now are in Aries and it's an eclipse. So, like, that would be an expression of, like, the dark goddess, or, like, the goddess in through her face of, like, fire and chaos. Like, you know, like, whatever Venus is in is going to reflect how the goddess is showing up collectively. And then the tarot is, like, every zodiac sign is associated with a different tarot card, and every planet is associated with a different tarot card. So you can also, like, take your birth chart, match it up to the tarot card, and see your kind of story through the tarot. But you can also read the tarot as a way of meeting the goddess. So in goddess energy for each chapter, I include a tarot spread to further dive into the energies of, like, whatever I'm talking about, whether it's the dark goddess or the goddess of the earth or the love goddess or the goddess of love. So you'll have, like, that acts as, like, a guide, because the goddess works in through our intuition, through the symbolic, through the abstract, through the felt. The tarot, which is a 78 deck of cards, which is based in symbolism, is a really beautiful tool to kind of get out of the logical mind and to start tapping into the intuitive part of yourself that is, like, where the goddess is going to meet you. So before this book, I had a tarot deck come out in September called The Goddess of Love Tarot. And, like, if you're reading goddess energy and, like, want a tarot deck to work with for those spreads, that deck would be excellent. Not to, like, you know, brag, but, like, that deck is a tool to meet the goddess. So I feel like they'd pair well.
That's not a brag. You're honoring what you've done, you know, and highlighting it. That's so cool. You have turned your passion into your career, which is really awesome. And I'm sure that, I'm assuming at least, a lot of your success has come from your experience with the magic and spells or whatever it is you do. Do you have any advice for people that would like to do something very similar?
Like similar professionally or similar, or like
everybody listening, it has a different, whatever they're trying to manifest, whatever they're feeling. But you have created such a beautiful life for yourself, and I'm assuming you've used a lot of magic to help amplify it and also bring light to yourself on what you'd like to do. So I'm just curious maybe if you have any sort of practical guidance or spells for the listeners or rituals or whatever it is.
Yeah. I feel like it's just like your path has to be personal to you, and your spiritual practice is going to be the strongest when it's based in your interests, your life, your culture, your practice. Like my spiritual path and my work are like very unique, and it took me a long time to figure out, like I've always just, I guess, loved a niche, but like it took me a long time to figure out what worked for me because it's something that's so personal. So it's like, it's okay to not know, because like if you're doing things in your own way, there's often not a blueprint, which is scary. And like the thing that you need to know the most is just like what is resonant for you. And I feel like if you're to do a ritual, like I would get like a small white candle, like a chime candle, which are like, you know, burn for like an hour and a half. They're really like 6 inches big, like very thin, like those small candles. Like just get a white candle. Cleanse yourself if you can with something like Palo Santo or some like lavender or like any kind of dried herb. If you have, you know, like ethically sourced sage, or if you have something like sweetgrass, you can cleanse yourself, claiming that you're removing any, you know, just declaring that any energy that's not yours is banished, and clearing your energy, and then taking some moments to just like visualize, you know, like white energy within you to just like clear the way, and then like lighting a white candle and asking for clarity, asking for purpose, asking for direction, asking for rebirth. Like white represents that kind of energy, and just allowing your gaze like focus on the flame and softening into that, and just visualizing that light expanding within you and seeing where it takes you. Like especially if you want to incorporate spirituality into your work, it takes a lot of time to figure out like how to do that in a way that's like not going to burn you out, that you're doing that's actually like resonant, not because other people are doing it, you know, like it takes a lot of self-awareness. And I think that just if you're in any kind of spiritual path, like it should resonate for you, like it should fit into your life and your interests, and like I think getting connected with those desires first will help you figure out what's next.
Totally. One more thing that I really was curious about was the dark goddess.
Yeah.
Love the dark goddess. She is associated with mystery, transformation, and embracing the shadow self. Mm-hmm. So how can we navigate our relationship with this dark goddess, with her, and what benefits can come from embracing the shadow aspects of ourselves?
I mean, you're just, if you work with a dark goddess, you're just going to get like sexier and more powerful and like more knowing of who you are, because the dark goddess represents the rejected feminine. She represents the part of ourselves that we're told to ignore. She represents the part of ourselves that we often feel drawn to but are shameful for exploring. Like she is the goddess of like death and decay and sexuality and rage, and like you know, like I was talking about this the other day, but like I think a big part of the patriarchy and like the toxicity of that is that women are forced to like, we're like told to be like small, and we're told to like shut up and be quiet and like be, you know, like not react too much, not get emotional. Like men want us to shrink. Like the patriarchy wants us to be small. Like they want us to be skinny so we don't take up space. And the dark goddess is like a stellar cosmic fuck you to that. Like the dark goddess is rage. She is sexual. She is naked. She is old. She goes against all the beauty standards, but she's also beautiful. Like she represents the vilified parts of femininity, of sexuality, of rage, of feeling that like are vital actually. And when we cut ourselves off from that part of ourselves, we get sick and we lose our voice and we lose our power, because like our power comes from owning all parts of who we are. The dark goddess gives us permission to be imperfect because she's imperfect. She shows us that to be human is to feel pain, to be human is to feel death, to be human is to be ecstatic and to feel rage. Like anger is not, like she's the opposite of love and light. Like she's actually like, you know what, like if you're feeling anger, then it's probably leading you to transform something. Actually, if you're feeling sadness, it's probably because you're really connected to something bigger than yourself. Actually, if you're feeling horny, it's because that pleasure is a sacrament, and like You know, like, especially for anybody who's like trans, queer, non-binary, non-monogamous, sex worker, kinky, like whatever it is, like, angry, like, just what, like, the dark goddess gives us permission to exist in that taboo and to like find power there. And I have the theory that like old goddesses can be dark goddesses because the goddess is not, like, the goddesses aren't perfect. Like, the goddesses have, you know, like, what they like and what they don't like. And because, like, all of us have our shadows, all the goddess has her shadow too. So it's like, we're all dark goddesses. And I think when we allow ourselves to be that totality, then, like, we recognize our power, we recognize our voice, we recognize the power of sexuality. Like, the patriarchy is threatened by a woman in touch with her sexuality. Like, the patriarchy is threatened by a woman in touch with her magic. And I feel like the dark goddess guides us to those things.
Oh, yes. And it's going to show up. She's going to show up differently, I think, for everyone, because obviously we all have our human needs, right? But it's so freeing. It's so empowering.
Yeah.
The dark goddess is amazing. And you're amazing. I have one last question for you. Do you have any other messages you want to share about your book or anything else before I ask you this last question?
I just released last week, so I don't, it'll be up, but I just shared a meditation on my podcast. Is the first time I did a guided meditation.
Very cool.
For like as an episode, and it's a rose meditation to meet the divine mother at the portal of your heart. So if you like want some guidance, it's episode 22 of my podcast, Love, Lust, and Magic. And yeah, I'm really proud of it. There's like really pretty background music, so you don't just have to hear me speak and breathe. It's like, it's really nice. So if you want kind of some like guidance into the ways that I like share my work, like specifically lead people, that would be a good place to start.
Ooh, congrats on the podcast, by the way.
Thank
That's
you.
Exciting. So it's the last question that I ask all the Your Own Magic guests. How would you advise the Your Own Magic listeners to create their own magic?
By like allowing your heart to guide you, by allowing your passions and what's inspiring you to guide you, like to not overthink. Like, you can't think your way to goddess. I always say that it's about feeling. So it's like, you might not understand why you're drawn to something, and just allowing yourself to trust it. Like, even if you don't know why right away, like whether you're drawn to like a goddess or a style of art or like kind of music, like whatever your muse is, like that is where the goddess will meet you. Like, I feel like being inspired is a really quick path to the goddess. So just like allowing that to be, you know, like whatever turns your soul on is a path to the divine. So allowing beauty and pleasure to guide you, and like knowing that like those are her ritual, the rituals of the goddess, and trusting that like you're always magic. Like, you are magic even when you're not doing a spell or a ritual, and it's a lens in which you live your life. And like inviting that perspective is just going to breed more love and magic in your life.
So beautifully said. And also, I feel like when people learn about the goddess more, read your book or whatever it is, they're going to learn a lot about themselves. I know that when I've read up on goddesses, I've learned a lot about myself through that. And there's so many ways that helps us connect and relate to others. Yeah. And yeah, it's a beautiful thing. You're doing a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I so appreciate
Thank you so much.
Yes, Gabby. And not only for like coming on the show, but I'm just so thankful that you're sharing these messages that so need to be heard and destigmatized. So I just thank you so much for everything you're doing for us.
Thank you so much.
Yomies, that is a wrap. I hope this episode was expanding for you in some way, shape, or form. Feel free to visit our site at yourownmagic.com or check out my shop, eyesofaspen.com. Connect with the other Your Own Magic listeners. We would love to see more conversations started on the Your Own Magic Facebook group. So with all that being said, thank you so much again for tuning in, and I hope you have a magical rest of your day.